time to cuss and discuss. It's the Geek Cave Comic Cast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 8 of the Geek Cave Comic Cast. I'm your host, Greg, joined again by Darren.
Hello.
Yep, today, we'll be going to just a few books that we've been reading worth noting. Then we're still in the middle of event season, so Convergence was wrapped up, and then Secret Wars and All New, All Different, and some weird books Darren has been reading, so, you know. So first things, what we've been reading is... So, Darren, I've got a book I want to describe to you. See what you can figure out what it is.
Okay.
It involves a young man, probably late 20s, early 30s, mm-hmm. But he's immortal, time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
But he travels with a younger female character, you know, who is kind of the audience's eyes into this weird world.
Uh-huh.
Travels throughout history, meets very many famous figures, meddling and all that, you know. Ultimately a good guy, but he has a past to atone for. Any guesses what this is?
Is it Doctor Who?
You would think it was, but actually it's Ivar Timewalker from Valiant.
Interesting.
It's new book from Valiant. First trade just came out. Ivar is one of the three brothers that, along with Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong, and Gilead from The Eternal Warrior, three immortal brothers, who he has kind of a dark past where he kind of killed a lot of people and is trying to kind of make up for it a little bit by going through the time stream and trying to save the world. And he's got a very amusing sense of humor. One thing that's interesting is he doesn't actually have a time machine, but he travels through rifts and he knows where and when they will be. But yeah, first trade just came out. Everyone who's listening to this knows I love Valiant, and this is, again, maintains the standard high quality. So, you know, if you're not really familiar with Valiant, but, you know, you can kind of like the Doctor Who time traveling stuff, check it out. You know, I mean, if you're familiar with the other stuff, you'll get a few little nods in there. But if not, it's self-contained. So
nice.
And, of course, like all time traveling, I'll just say that the first arc involves Hitler, but not exactly how you expect. So,
okay.
It's very funny. Yeah, so if you're new to Valiant, but like Doctor Who and stuff, I highly recommend checking out Ivar Timewalker.
All right.
But now, my comic of the month, and the month has barely started, but I don't see how anyone else can top this. The latest issue of The Wicked and the Divine by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. It wraps up the second arc, Fandemonium, and... pretty much every page is a jaw-dropper as far as what's happening. Like, it's been building up to stuff, and it all comes into a giant climactic, you know, head. And with things I did not expect, then things radically changing. You know, and it's just... I can't give anything away, but you need to read The Wicked and the Vine. It is incredible. This... This issue is just so many big changes that... I cannot wait for next month to figure out, okay, so what's going on? What's going to happen now with who is left, shall we say? But are you familiar with the book, The Wicked and Divine?
Mostly from what you've told me.
Right. So basically, for those who aren't familiar, it's from Kieran Gillen McKelvey, who did Young Avengers, Phonogram, things like that. It's about pop stars as kind of gods who are immortal, but they only live for 2 years. And because of the whole 2 years thing, you know, they deal with that different ways, and it mostly follows a young girl named Laura, who is a big fan of him, and starts to meet and interact with the gods on a regular occasion. And things start happening, and things start happening, and bad things start happening, and things start happening. So, and this, in the second arc, is a year, issue 12 or so, of a really big climax, and looking forward to see where it goes in the future. So, but it is an incredible issue. Every page is stunning. Can't go into spoiler territory, but pick it up. So,
nice.
So what do you got for us, Darren?
I've got a comic that is older than both of us.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I took a recent vacation, went to Metropolis, Illinois. And, by the way, if you've never been to Metropolis, you need to stop by. They've got like a 20-foot tall Superman statue, right in the center of town. Great photo op. But near there is a place called the Super Museum. It's a collectible store. And, all right, now, most people who've been on the internet long enough are aware of the phrase super dickery, if you
yep.
will. It's basically the theory that Superman is a jerk. He's an a-hole, and he always has been. Back in the day, I mean the 50s, when Jimmy Olsen had his own comic, you know, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Those were probably the best times where you could find examples of super dickery from everything. Like, sorry, Jimmy, as my new role as tribal chief, you must marry this gorilla. Stuff like that. Well, I picked up issue number 115, which is the most famous example of super dickery. It's got Jimmy Olsen and Aquaman lying in a desert on the cover, with Superman standing above both of them with a pitcher of water saying, you know the rules, only one of you can get the glass of water, the other will die.
Wow.
Now, you know, I don't want to, I mean, it's not like there's spoiler territory per se. The comic is like 50 mm-hmm. years old. That being said, though, I don't want to give too much away, so I'll just do a quick summary. Mm-hmm. Summary is, Jimmy Olsen is granted magic powers similar to Aquaman from an evil sorcerer who has been kidnapping ships, like big cruise ships and stuff, by carving a copy of them out of wood. That creates a giant whirlpool that sucks up the boat. Are you with me so far?
What? Bathtub? Yeah. Whirlpool? What?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's. You know those ships in a bottle?
Yes.
All right. Evil sorcerer has something going along those lines where he will carve a ship out of wood, and then the ship that he's carving, the one in real life, will get sucked into a magic wormhole, not wormhole, whirlpool, and end up in a bottle in the magician's collection or whatever. Comics were weird. It was the 50s.
You could have left off this. That was the 50s. Comics are weird.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So he gives Jimmy Aquaman's powers with the express purpose of lulling him into a trap, because it's Jimmy Olsen. Everybody knows he's friends with Superman. So Jimmy and Aquaman decide to have a contest to see who should be the next king of the seas. Because if I were king of the seas, that's what I'd do. If some guy just wanders around, happens to have my powers, like, hey, let's have a contest. Instead of just saying, hey, that's cool, welcome to the club. But
you know, a sensible thing to do.
And so Superman's like, okay, everybody, get in this raft. And he pulls them on this raft to a desert island. And he's like, okay, you know the drill. Aquaman can't last more than an hour outside of water because, you know, these are the 50s and Aquaman was lame. Jimmy, same way. He can't live outside of water for an hour. And then Superman just takes off. He just leaves. Like, I'll be back. I'll be back in about 55 minutes and see how you guys are doing.
Wow.
He comes back. He comes back with a pitcher of water, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he pours a nice tall glass, and he just kind of stares at the two of them. And he's like, time's almost up, guys. One of you will get this glass of water. The other will have lost the contest. And, you know, they're both crawling after Superman. Please give us some water. Jimmy is like putting his face into Superman's footprints on the sand because Superman's boots were a little wet. So he's able to get some moisture from that.
Wow.
It is lame. But that's how Jimmy wins the contest. Aquaman passes out. Superman gives Jimmy the water. And then they find out, oh, wait, Aquaman's dead. apparently he couldn't make it. So they give Aquaman a burial at sea, because I guess that's fitting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Superman, who doesn't have any remorse or whatever, he's like, well, good luck running Aquaman's kingdom. Bye. Takes off. And then we find out that it was really the magician in disguise. It wasn't actually Superman. But, you know, the scene on the cover did happen in the book. At least that did happen. Jimmy suddenly loses his powers because the magician's like, now I'm going to get Jimmy Olsen too. And everyone's like, why do you want Jimmy Olsen? Superman shows up. He takes the magician, flies him to another planet with red water so the magician can't, like, control it, I guess, or some stupid Deus Ex Machina thing.
Yeah.
Aquaman is revived. Apparently Aquaman has what Superman had in the 90s whenever he, quote, died.
Plot armor?
Sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah. It was the sleep and return of Aquaman. Apparently he enters a condition, quote, like death, And then Odin whenever slipped. Yeah, whenever they put him in the water, he woke up. He was fine. Whatever. But Jimmy, Superman doesn't even try to save Jimmy. Superman just flies off, and he's like, Jimmy's fine. He'll be okay. And Jimmy, I shit you not, Jimmy Olsen saves himself because near where he is in the ocean is some wreckage from the Titanic, and he manages to grab a life preserver from the Titanic and save himself. Jimmy freaking Olsen.
I'm speechless. Yeah. I mean, wow.
It is one of the strangest and quite possibly best things I've ever read. I laughed. Wow. I laughed. I shook my head. I laughed some more. If you can find this, fair market value is about $13. So actually, it's not bad for a comic with a really iconic cover that's only become iconic because of the internet. But, right. You know, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 115. I'd say pick it up if you see it.
Wow, that is okay.
Yeah, there's really nothing more I can say.
That's fantastic.
The only other book I read in recent weeks was the last issue of Convergence. I know a lot of people didn't really care for Convergence. I, on the other hand, I liked it. I thought it was really good, especially because the ending basically brings back the DC multiverse in every way and shape. And that really excites me because that means that DC can, their writers can just kind of pick and choose what kind of stories they want to tell. They don't have to stick to continuity anymore. If something doesn't exactly mesh, they can just say, well, that was on Earth, Gamma 7 or whatever.
Exactly.
And then they can move on with their lives.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the method may not have been the best, but, where they got to it, that was,
Yeah.
So. And I enjoyed some of the tie-ins. Like, I really enjoyed, obviously, Oracle and Nightwing. I thought the JSA tie-in was fantastic, Question. It was nice to see these characters for a little bit. So, and at least now there's a possibility they could return. So,
yeah. And, since that has wrapped up, Convergence has wrapped up, now DC's new, DCU initiative is already showing a lot of diversity. It's just launched this month. I got to take a look at We Are Robin. Looks like it's going to be a fantastic book. Basically, a bunch of teenagers all get together, and they're like, Gotham is a messy place. Batman is missing because of what happened in Batman issue 40. So let's all be Robin. And it sounds stupid, but it really is intriguing. I like it. I like where they're going with it. Cyborg is another book to watch because it's, if you read Forever Evil and the storyline of that, Cyborg is basically rebuilt after the Crime Syndicate tears him apart.
Yep.
But the problem is, as we find out in Cyborg's new book, he has some parts of him that he wasn't even aware of. there's some technology going on. I'm not sure if he's got a virus or something, but he's starting to short circuit a little bit, so to speak. He's starting to lose a bit of control of his body. And it's a unique idea where it's like, normally Cyborg is this guy who's got as you would say, like a plot device on every arm.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden he's, I don't know what I'm doing, guys. I can't even walk at times. So it creates some interesting scenarios for him and what they're going to be doing with that. And I do like how some of the DC books are sticking with the costume designs from the New 52, and others are kind of going their own separate way. Superman, Wonder Woman going with the post-convergence. Justice League is telling the Dark Side War right now, and that's staying with the pre-convergence look.
Okay.
So again, they are already sticking to the whole, hey, we're focusing on good stories, not necessarily continuity. Mm-hmm. And that actually might be good enough to set them apart from Marvel, because I know Marvel with the Secret Wars has been fantastic, but they're getting ready for that big don't call it a reboot.
It's totally a reboot. Yeah. It is totally a reboot. Secret Wars. It's one thing I do like about Secret Wars is that a lot of the recent events have been like once per week,
Yeah.
And you're real quick, okay, here it is, okay, bam, bam, boom, 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 and then punch, and it's done,
Right.
with Secret Wars as being as cataclysmic of effect as it is, you know, they're doing like weekly or biweekly, depending on the issue, you know, depending on what happens in there. It's more of a slow burn, and the issues are big. I mean, they're maybe not quite double sized, but they're definitely more than the usual 20 pages or so. And each page is packed. There's a lot of little stuff that goes into it to show, okay, what is going on in Battle World? You know, where these people are at. You know, the tie-ins are starting to come in. Again, slowly. It's not like, okay, here's one, issue one of everything, you know. They're staggering them, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Verse has been out. That issue one, that was good. Old Man Logan, art by Andrea Sorrentino, forgive me if I butcher that, who is on All New X-Men. Gorgeous art, you know. Written by Bendis, so a team that's very familiar with each other. Gorgeous art. And then, you know, Years of Future Past. There's a couple I'm really looking forward to this week. 1602, Witch Hunter Angela. Then Marvel Zombies. And there's a few more that they're slowly building. But the main core title, it's really fascinating. I'm surprised, but I'm issue 3 of 8. And I'm absolutely loving it. I didn't expect to be enjoying this much, but just really interesting, you know, what could happen, you know, which obviously probably won't be as grand as I hope, you know, given what we've seen so far. But, you know, I do trust Hickman to go through the story that he penned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about Hickman is he plays the long game, you know. Like, his Secret Warriors run, which I've gotten an omnibus, start off slow, but the payoff is incredible. Same thing with his Image titles, like East of West, you know. Slow to start, but the payoff is just incredible. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. And then, you know, I know people are saying, okay, we'll just get through it, see what happens. Like, I kind of don't care what happens after. I'm really starting want to enjoy this event. Because so many events, if, like, you know, Age of Ultron, Original Sin, which kind of, eh, you know?
Yeah.
But this, you know, the whole idea of Battle World with Doom as the inherent god and all that, it's intriguing. Art by Asad Ribic, very well done. And I'm very curious, because you have all these different, you know, sections that of the Battle World that are walled off, and traveling between zones is forbidden and is enforced by the Thors. So, But naturally people still do it, and usually what happens is they get then either killed or taken to the wall, which is the wall that prevents, you know, between the civilized areas and, like, the, you know, the underworld, the Marvel Zombies and all that. And I have a suspicion, again, this is a theory, that the wall is actually the thing. We have not yet seen him yet in any form, but It looks, in some pictures, it looks very close to the thing's, you know, skin and all that. We have not yet seen him. And with Doom as ruler, it wouldn't be implausible, given that it was revealed in issue 2 that the son is actually Johnny Storm. Take that, and the sign, the sun does actually orbit the Earth.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah.
So
it was interesting that we finally got to see Dr. Doom's face.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's worse than I expected it to be.
Right. You know, I mean, for years I hinted at, you know, his vanity, so I thought, okay, maybe just a couple scars. No, it's pretty horrific.
I thought he looked like Gaston or something.
Right, with, you know, a slight line by his face, you know. No, it's pretty messed up. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like someone took a shovel and just hit him with it repeatedly.
It is for the best that he is wearing a mask.
It is, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this week we have seen a couple teasers for all new, all different Marvel. They not reboot, but I'm going to, Marvel, I love you, but it is totally a reboot.
Yeah, I don't care what they say, it's a reboot.
It is. So, which, I don't know why the word has such an, you know, negative connectivity. I mean,
they don't want to be compared at all to DC, I think, is their mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, I mean, it's, I can see why they don't want to call it a reboot per se, because, for example, it's not like they're starting over with Captain America. Sam Wilson is still going to be Captain America.
Right. I mean, you still have the characters that are established. You still have, you know, Ms. Marvel. You still have Captain Marvel, you know, a lot of Spider-Men.
Yeah. There's, like, you know, 2 Spider-Women, 2 Spider-Men, so 4 Spider-People wander around out there. No sign of the X-Men whatsoever in both of the teasers.
Apart from Wolverines.
Apart from the 2 Wolverines, old and young, hot female.
Yes.
But, you know, Marvel has said, yeah, the X-Men are going to be around. They're probably going to have their own little pocket of the Marvel Universe where we put all of our redheaded stepchildren that we're not making as much money off of.
Right. Now, the other thing is that, I don't know if this is true or not, but they've said that they're being selective about the characters that they reveal because Secret Wars is still very early on and things were going to happen and the characters are going to change and, you know, characters that are a lot of major players have not yet been revealed.
I predict that Cyclops will get screwed in some way.
Literally, seems, metaphorically.
Yeah, both. Bendis really seems to hate him some Cyclops.
Well, he's got the Phoenix now, so.
yeah, but, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about it, because on one hand, okay, it's great. We know that Peter Parker is still going to be Spider-Man as well as Miles.
Which is cool. You know, Jessica Drew and Gwen.
Yeah,
so.
and we know that X-23 Laura, she looks pretty good in the Wolverine suit. It looks like a decent, you know, fit and a natural extension for her character.
Yeah, and they were leaning up to it towards the Wolverines, which ended recently. Marvel's First Weekly. In short, they don't need to repeat that experiment.
So you're saying that it mercifully ended?
It did. Like, I wanted to like it. And honestly, I love the team, you know, they put on there. It was, you know, Dawkins, Mystique, Lady Deathstrike, Sabretooth, and X-23. You know, yeah. It could have been very fun. You know, but it was just kind of people pouting, really. I want it to be big and violent. You know, I mean, you put those characters together, you want violence, you know. And it kind of happened, but not really, you know. It's like,
Right. You know, what was interesting to me was a couple of things. One, who's the character with the swashbuckling sword and the patriotic shoulder pads?
Oh, yeah, that's Citizen V, who's actually in a alternate like persona of Kang the Conqueror.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, because I'm not familiar with him.
There's not really much to be familiar with him of, but yeah, he should have. But essentially, he's, if I recall, he's Kang, actually.
All right. There so. We go. Now, it is interesting that there's a whole lot of the Inhumans, and it's worth noting from the yeah, I know, but it's worth noting from the all-new teasers, that is not Johnny Storm with the Inhumans. That is not the Human Torch. That's one of the Inhumans. I don't remember what his name was.
But he was introduced, yeah.
Implode or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Let me go on record. It's not that I hate the Inhumans. It's not at all far from it. But I dislike how Marvel is basically replacing the X-Men with the Inhumans.
Yeah. And so that's by design, obviously.
Right. You know, no, I have nothing against the Inhumans, but the fact they're replacing the X-Men, X-Men are what got me into comics.
Right.
So, Doctor Strange has an axe.
Doctor Strange has an awesome battle axe. It looks like Peter Quill is not a member of the Guardians anymore. He's not wearing Guardians uniform, but the Thing is wearing a Guardians of the Galaxy uniform, as well as Rocket Raccoon, of course.
Giving us the finger. Which makes you smile.
You know, again, the four spider people, I mean, some people were wondering, does that mean Spider-Gwen's going to be, you know, like a permanent part of normal continuity? How's that going to work? Interesting note about Peter, if you look at him up close, the spider symbol on his chest lights up, it seems.
Huh.
And I've pulled up a high-res look at comicbook.com. His eyes light up, and so does the spider symbol on his chest for some reason. So I don't know if they're doing like a Batman Incorporated kind of suit for Peter Parker or what that is. Obviously, the big question mark, though, is who the hell is in the Iron Man suit? Because it's a very slimline suit. It doesn't look nearly as bulky as prior Iron Man suits do. One popular theory going around right now is that it will actually be Bruce Banner.
Ooh.
Because, you know, Bendis teased there's going to be a new Hulk. And so, you know, that as a result, now people are like, well, maybe that's where Banner goes. In fact, at the special edition NYC convention, not that long ago, just this weekend, Bendis and a couple of other presenters, Chris DeLando, had some other announcements. For one, the Women of Marvel getting their own True Believers line. You know, that's where they reprint number ones for $1. So, you know, you'll get issue number one of Silk for $1, issue number one of Spider-Gwen, She-Hulk, Thor, Miss Marvel.
I recommend picking those up. They're very good if you have not already read those.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of things looking at the picture, you know, which we'll link.
Yeah.
Despite what Marvel has said before, the characters that they're definitely highlighting definitely correspond to the other media.
Yeah, I mean, they say that we're not letting the movies dictate our creative direction, and yet they totally are.
They totally are. Yeah. I mean, on the first picture, we have Spider-Man, Iron Man, Vision, Ant-Man, who...
Scott Lang version.
Yeah, exactly. Not Hank Pym.
By the way, Scott Lang will be in the movie.
Yes, yeah. Scott Lang is Paul Rudd, so who's the main...
Yeah, he's the movie version of Iron Man. So, again, it's...
Yeah. Black Panther, Coulson.
Yeah, hell, freaking Agent Coulson.
See, I'm okay with that, though. I like Coulson.
Don't get me wrong. I like Coulson, but it's like, really? You're just going to throw that out there? And like, no, the media does not influence us whatsoever.
And then you got Daredevil on the second one in his, you know, more Netflix, darker costume, you know.
A Netflixy suit.
You know. So then Iron Man on both pictures. Yes. So.
Yeah, now Iron Man, they're using him as like...
the forefront.
Yeah, he's like their guy. He's which again, before the movies, he was not their guy. I mean, he was popular among Marvel fans, but a B-tier hero at the very best.
Right. He had a cool suit. That was
He had a cool suit, but now he's like Batman essentially, which is how DC's doing things. Is like, let's just throw Batman in everything, and see if that works. This looks like what Marvel's doing as far as the book, you know, announcements and advertisements and Invincible Iron Man number one. That's a new series. Brian Michael Bendis just tweeted, it is Tony Stark.
Really?
It is Tony Stark inside the suit. He's the man in the can, so to speak.
Now, is it evil Tony Stark?
Well, we don't know, but I was just breaking. Just came across that. Brian Michael Bendis tweeted, yes, Tony Stark is the guy in the Iron Man suit.
Interesting.
All right.
So, okay. Well, that's good to know. I haven't always been the biggest fan of the Ultimate Universe, but I am glad to see Miles coming in. You know, the character haven't read a lot of, but I definitely respect him. You know.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Miles has he's got a lot of fans,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it seems like a good experiment at the very least. I'm really interested in what they're going to do with Old Man Logan, since he's going to be part of the continuity now.
Right.
You know, I think that there are some fun stories that can be told there with Old Man Logan basically, you know, having to interact with today's generation and pointing out, like, you know, my future is a bunch of shit. You know? I imagine he won't really be taking, you know, he definitely won't be taking the Hulk well. If he does get to meet up with Bruce Banner, you know, he definitely won't be. His interactions with Hawkeye will be fun to read. Mm-hmm. You know, his interaction with the Red Skull will be fun.
Right.
Basically,
what I'm trying to say is, if you haven't read Mark Miller's original run, it is one of the best single self-contained stories.
Yes. Old Man Logan is good.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, if it wasn't the show before, you know, we have a kind of a love-hate relationship with Mark Miller, Millar's work, but Old Man Logan is one of the finest X-Men stories I've read, so it's very violent, it's very brutal, it's very dark, it's what Miller does best, and he just really transforms the Marvel Universe for a few issues into something very bleak, very akin to Mad Max.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, you know, last thing, you know, I'm very much looking forward to what Marvel's going, you know, not to the point where I'm looking ahead into anything all new. For now, I'm, you know, Secret Wars is going on. There's some cool stuff, you know, there's Years of Future Past, which I'm enjoying, you know, there's some stuff coming out. I'm just trying to, you know, take it in, enjoy it, and, you know, not trying to, you know, get too far ahead of myself, you know?
Right, right.
So... there's Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde comes in, but except for, you know, not being Kitty Pryde he's engaged to, it's the AOA one who likes to kill people, who is more akin to Wolverine.
Fantastic.
So, so there'll be like three different versions of Star-Lord running around, I believe, at least.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because there's the ones for the Guardians of Nowhere, who is his own thing. There's a 1602, and there's the actual Star-Lord that we know who actually survived the last incursion. So
yeah.
So One last book I do want to bring up, because it was so much fun this week. Guardians Team Up Number 6, written by Bill Fables Willingham. It's Gamora and Nightcrawler dueling to take down a slaver.
All right.
They infiltrate in a sword fighting contest, and they go into the finals, and the guy who oversees it is this big slaver, so they then, and the only time he shows himself is during the finals to brag and all that. And so he shows up, they fight, Nightcrawler teleports him to jail, and just a fun swashbuckling adventure, something a little more lighthearted.
Nice.
The art's great, but it's kind of what you would, for me as a big Nightcrawler fan, it's a Nightcrawler I like to see, the charming, the dashing, but the good guy, he taking down a slaver to rescue kids. That's what he seems to be doing most of the time. So
right. Just a couple of things of note I wanted to bring up, just little yes. tidbits. If you are a Star Wars fan, you know that the Star Wars comic is basically canon, according yes. to Disney and Marvel.
For now.
It takes place between episodes 4 and 5.
Force Unleashed was also canon until now, so...
Yeah, that's true. But, going forward, anyway.
Yes.
And we find out something, spoilery. Spoiler. Han is married. He's got a wife, and she shows up at the end of the most recent issue of Star Wars, and she's been looking for Han, and she's kind of pissed. So... That will be interesting. I know a lot of fans are like freaking out, like, no, you can't do this. Well, Han is a scoundrel,
right? I think it's like one night Vegas crap drunk,
yeah,
it happens, like, yeah, the thing,
yeah,
before the movies he was not a nice person. Oh
no, he wasn't a nice person during the movies, for God's sake. Han, I love you. I know. Yeah.
But that's why we like him. He is a lovable scoundrel, and it totally makes sense. Kumiri, for a number of reasons that better have a good story attached to them.
Yeah.
Like, I want more Han Solo's, crazy stories, smuggler stuff. That's what I want.
Well, the word is still that Disney and Marvel will most likely do kind of like a Han Solo prequel or something like that.
Yeah. The next. A book after Leia finishes, the next spotlight is Lando.
There you go.
Which, art by Alex Maleev. Oh, so excited. I'm hoping for another good smuggler story, because that's the kind of the side of the Star Wars U that I really enjoy,
Yeah, I'd love for Marvel and Dark Horse to get together and do like a Firefly Star Wars crossover. If only because, I know it's unfeasible for a number of reasons. One, Star Wars happens in the past, and two, I just don't see I don't see a lot of interactions between the Firefly crew and, say, Lando Calrissian working out. But it would
that'd
be
fun of it, though.
It would be fun. But no, the second one, Archie, wrapped up its run. They're relaunching the book, and its final issue was 666, which surprisingly they didn't even use all that much. They mentioned that Archie got his 666th detention. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
It was mostly just kind of like a nostalgic, like, hey, you remember the time that Archie did this stupid thing? And you remember the time he did that stupid thing? So the characters stayed at status quo, which is what happens in Archie books, unless it's, like Life with Archie or something where he dies preventing a political assassination.
Afterlife with Archie.
Afterlife with Archie. All the side stories like Predator versus Archie.
I like that one.
That was good. So, the relaunch is going to have them in more modern-looking clothing and more modern, supposedly, stories. We'll just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. It is Archie, so, I don't really expect anything too hard-hitting. But the nice thing about the Archie comics is they've been able to cover things that normal publishers tend to shy away from. Archie had, he added a couple of gay characters, well before a lot of the mainline comic people did, and they didn't make a big deal of it. It's just, oh, by the way, this person's gay, move on, and similar things like that. So I don't know, maybe we'll see more of that kind of storytelling, or maybe it'll just be Jughead being a dick. I don't know. But anyway, so if you are looking for a collectible and you don't get your hands on Jimmy Olsen, number 115, then maybe pick up Archie 666, because hey, it's the Mark of the Beast on an Archie comic. That alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember when Superman hit issue 666 and he actually fought the devil. And that was a fun story. It was really fun. Superman can't defeat Satan, and he knows he can't, but he tells him that if he had the ability, he would have wiped him off the face of the earth. It was a fun single standalone book, but you know, you don't see too many people A, hitting that number, and B, taking advantage of it. I know Batman did. They told the story of like future Damian and the world being all shit because Damian's Batman. So hopefully we'll get to see more of that kind of thing in the future. I know with all these relaunches, I mean, Marvel's relaunching everything, 60 books all at number one.
Right. Again.
Again. I mean, DC had 52, and now it's going to be like 45. But they're not getting relaunched. Just a few are getting renumbers. Those are just like the new books.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a good time to be a comics fan, so there's still plenty to read.
Mm-hmm. There is. So stay with us in the future weeks as we go through this reboot, not reboot, and the DCU, as well as other titles from Image, Valiant, Top Cow, who is also Image, so that's redundant.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One thing I do try to focus is, you know, not just give lip service just to DC and Marvel, you know.
Right.
But, however, those are the most, especially the events, they are the most visible on people's radars, so you have to give attention to those.
Well, and it's worth mentioning because so many people read those two publishers.
Right.
I mean, no hate to the indies at all. We love the indies. Hell, 01 Publishing is one of our biggest friends of the podcast network. And that's why we have this show, so we can cover both the big and the small.
Right. So until next time, read more comics.